why is the awards being handed out now? The season's not over. What are these fucking plonkers going to be doing at the end of the season? Writing shit opinion pieces, trying to sell off Aston Villa players to all their football clubs. That's what they're going to be spending their time. Just vote then. As if it takes any time. Send in your WhatsApp, go online, put in your registration, put in your little registration code. Say you work for the Sun or whatever bollocks paper you write for, and then just vote for Bill Foden. You don't have to do it now. There's fucking four games left.
Tim Sherwood here. You're listening to the Villa Podcast.
So I left while you were sleeping. That's all it took.
I know you're familiar with the classic Disney hit, Cool Runnings. Documenting the beginning of the Jamaican bobsleigh team and their unbelievable journey to the 1988 Winter Olympics. A ramshackle of nearly man athletes, great talents in their own right, but who thought they'd never get their shot at the big time. Yet somehow they convinced the legend of the game to take them over and whip them into shape. Somehow he convinced them that they were good enough. And Liam, they were. They were definitely good enough. They were taking them all on. It wasn't all plain sailing. They had their bumps, their bruises. They had their injuries. They had their fear. Of course they had their fear. They had their supporters even asking, what are you doing this for? Stop embarrassing yourselves. Stop embarrassing us. Stop trying to play it out from the back. And day by day, they grew. It came together. They found the rhythm. They found the ride. And on the big day, Liam, it was fucking exhilarating. They were blistering down that ice at breakneck speed. It was record-breaking stuff. The world was sitting up. Everybody was watching, thinking, how on earth was this happening? It was phenomenal that they were even staying on track going this fast. But what people didn't know, what they didn't appreciate, what they couldn't see, because they didn't do the research, was that the brakes were broken. The brakes weren't even working, and sooner or later, this was all going to come crashing to a halt, and it did. And what did those four heroes do as they lay on their sides, hanging out of the bobsleigh, tipped over? They said, they have to finish the race. And they got up, they lifted that sled on their shoulders, and they carried it over the line. By hook or by crook, they finished that race. Here we are, Liam, just trying to get over the line any which way.
Yeah, I don't think the Jamaican bobsleigh team were there praying that the Swiss bobsleigh team would hammer the German bobsleigh team to enable them to get over the fucking line like we were at 4 o'clock today. But it's funny that you mentioned the Jamaican bobsleigh team, and well, sorry, not the Jamaican bobsleigh, because this part was almost certainly fictional in that Disney film, as you correctly point out. But you know when Zanka's running around trying to get people to kiss his egg?
Yeah.
There's no better place. There's no better place in the world than Dublin City Centre in the sun. And I wasn't even doing it right today. I wasn't doing it right. I was hanging out with somebody else's children and their mother, obviously, as well. Sitting down having breakfast in the sun. Could see all the younger people about fucking somebody else's children sitting next to them having drinks. And I wasn't doing it right, I admit that. But we were eating breakfast. We all got different things. The child immediately goes in, starts cutting up his eggs, puts it into his mouth, and his mother said, are you not going to offer a share to anybody? Takes it out of his mouth, puts it on his plate, cuts it, and then offers it to me. And I was thinking, at fucking 4 o'clock today, if I could have my time back, I would still be sitting in that sun, because despite the fact that Dublin is the best place in the world to be in the sun, particularly the city centre, I left all that behind. Even that nonsense of eating a drooled on piece of egg, I would prefer to have been doing that than what I was doing 4 o'clock today, sitting with my hands, head in my hands, thinking, what the fuck is coming next? Spurs are actually going to beat Liverpool, aren't they?
I had that realization for some reason all day today. I was like, oh, it's going to happen. You know, we can beat this Brighton team. We can beat this lot. And I just had it taken for granted that the Spurs would lose again. And then when we lost, And I realized what bad form Liverpool were in. I was like, oh my God, of course Spurs can win this match. And if they do, we are fucked. We are in a lot of trouble. And the panic, I actually avoided that result then for a long time. I tuned in as it was 3-0. And I was like, oh my, thank you, Christ. Like, this was just, I couldn't get over how I hadn't even contemplated this was a possibility. And like, the reality is, we are relying on results going our way, but we're relying on them because we've done a lot of good work, which still counts. I mean, all those points we got earlier in the season still count. It's a 30-game season. We shouldn't beat ourselves up for getting points at a different time. We shouldn't beat ourselves up for having gone through those fixtures already. But like, we go a goal down in a game that we really need to, you know, get a point in, even just for the momentum, to try and get any sort of momentum to walk over the line with a sled on our shoulders. But we go a goal down and we're bringing on Callum Chambers and Moreno. Like, that's where we're at. I mean, we're in this game. I don't even think people realize this. Sky definitely don't. I mean, like, how often have you heard over the last few days about Brighton's injury list? Mm. We're in this game today without Martinez, without Mings, without Kamara, without Ramsey, Tielemans, Buendia, Zaniolo's not on the bench, and then Rodgers goes off early.
Mm.
Conceivably, that could be 7 first-team players. And Zaniolo, you could have 8 players starting there, but you probably wouldn't. It would be 7. That could be your whole midfield, Kamara behind Ramsey, Tielemans, Rodgers, Buendia.
But not only that, Con, it's a load of people who you would want to bring on later in the game as well, or yeah. People they replace would be the people you'd like to bring on, you know, like Tielemans, Ramsey, Buendia, Rodgers. They're all difference makers. Tielemans or Zaniolo could come on and nutmeg somebody. Like, you know, there's things that can happen from that group of players. There's nothing that can happen from Callum Chambers other than me trying to put my head through my hands at that stage, or perhaps even my fucking fingers through my eyes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's go to the only goal of the game, and it was, look, Andingra is a good player, right? But I'm really disappointed that we capped off his performance, because his performance was like, it was good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't what we were talking it up to be. It was reminding me of Nanto. Remember that guy at Leeds? I'm being unkind. He's very young. But Jesus, the hype that was surrounding him. Like, I thought, like, Gary Neville basically said he was the best winger for his age that he had seen. And this boy played with Cristiano Ronaldo at Man United. So I just thought we would have heard a bit more about Nanto this season. And Adingra was getting the same treatment today. And it was like, it wasn't a whole lot of end product. He was on the ball a lot, so he was coming into their view in a game that wasn't offering much in terms of viewership.
You're talking about him getting on the ball a lot. They went back at halftime, and Jamie Redknapp was talking about how he was having an amazing game. That was the phrase. Yeah. He's having an amazing game. They showed the highlights. Like, he played well. He was a decent footballer on a football pitch. But he had a shit connection from across to the back post. He had a shit cross across the face of the goal when nobody was there against a team who are shit at defending crosses. And we had Jamie Redknapp ready to start a fucking dirty protest on his behalf, talking about that this was the greatest performance he had ever seen.
And 2 shit shots to add into it as well. I mean, this is why it was so frustrating that Ezri Konsa then gives him the opportunity to cap that performance, because concert, it's soft, right? It is. And the annoying thing is, we had one on Morgan Rogers in the first half. There was definitely more in it, I thought. But as Roy Keane said at halftime, that was early in the game. So, you know, what can you do about that? It doesn't count at that stage in the match. It does count. It does count when the game's in the mixer with 5 minutes to go. And Conza gives him the opportunity, gives the referee the opportunity. It's never going to be turned over anyway once the ref gives it. Mm. And it's so frustrating because I think what we had seen for 85 minutes before that was Adingra probably not going to finish it off. And then they get the chance from the penalty spot. Olsen makes an unbelievable save from the penalty. And it goes up straight into the head of João Pedro, who gets the head. And it couldn't have been more sickening.
Yeah. The big problem for Villa today was the pass to Adingra was on all game. That was the big, big issue. I mean, once that pass is played and the winger is in, you're in big trouble. And Konza was in trouble. It's really soft. It looks really, really soft. Unfortunately, Sky were even more keen to move on than the VAR was. I mean, the penalty was given. And before Rob Jones put his arm back down, the commentators were telling us the check was complete. Like, I know Rob Jones is probably trying to do a drop set for his frontal raises by leaving his arm up for too long. But the point remains, before he had even had a chance to put his arm back down, a very short period of time, the VAR had cleared that. Now, I think if the ref gives that, that's fine. If that's what you think football is, then that's fine. If you think that's a penalty, that's all right, Rob. Like, to be honest, you're not going anywhere near the ground the size of you bollocks, if anyone goes anywhere near you, like Ezri Konsonant, the Adingra. But this is the thing that frustrates football fans most. It's the inconsistency in decision-making. Ordinarily, Conan, that is between different referees in different games. Like, if Rob Jones can't even be consistent with himself, what hope do we have? There was only about 80 minutes separating those two decisions. Did he run around so much during that time that his fucking brain function changed? Did he not have his banana at halftime? Was he low with potassium? Like, and I know Rob Jones knows the importance of consistency, Conan. That man is in there doing 8x4 every day on every part of his body, every muscle group. He probably can't think but for hearing 8x4, 8x4. But what the fuck is going on here that this man can't make the same decision in 2 moments? And this is what the VAR should have been saying to Rob Jones today. You didn't give the exact same foul in the first half. I don't think you can give it now. I know you've given it, and it's not a clear and obvious error that you've given it, but you didn't give it the first time. So if you didn't give it the first time, this must be an error, because you can't possibly think those two decisions are different.
Yeah, this is clearly and obviously not consistent, so we are going to intervene on this kid. Like, he's probably just not used to doing cardio as part of his training regime, so maybe that's it. Head mess of his brain is too worried about getting the pump on, and he's doing a good job at it. But Rob Jones also hates Leon Bailey. I think I've noticed this before. He really doesn't like him. At one stage, Bailey gets stood on his heel and then kicked to the ground by a second player, and it's like, get up. Like, there's such disdain for him. It was unbelievable. Carry on.
So fucking bizarre, though. That Bailey one, can I come by? Like, that was so fucking bizarre. Like, Bailey was like a postman walking in the pound. He nipped at his ankle so many times. It was ridiculous. Stood in his ankle, kicked in his ankle. So clear as well. And I've been on this podcast before, and I've talked about the fact that, that's a tight decision for the referee. It's really easy to give one whenever somebody's been tripped. Apparently, it's not. Apparently, you can just take somebody's feet from underneath them, and Rob Jones will play on if it's Leon Bailey.
This is what was weird, because normally there's a higher threshold, and actually the referee chief, Howard Webb, told us this. He said there's a high threshold for penalties, and he's not giving it in the middle of the pitch on Leon Bailey for getting it done to him twice, but he's giving it for way softer instances on one occasion in the box, not for the other occasion. Only other talking points were there were two offside goals. The gross one actually stood on the pitch, and VAR intervened. This was the one that Adingra pulled back, and it was pulled in. I mean, he was obviously offside. You could see it in the line. Like, he was on the 6-yard box over it, and the defender wasn't. Thank God Matt Cash wasn't playing right back at that stage, because he definitely would have been keeping him.
Matt Cash was playing right back. It was the ball that played him offside.
Because actually, Cash and then Konza was inside, and Carlos was at the other side of Groves. You're actually right.
Yeah, Matt Cash goes walking out with his hands behind his back. Christ almighty, does he get lucky here? That is probably the thing that annoys me most in world football. A fullback walking out to a winger with their hands behind their back. I mean, if coaches aren't working on that for the next year, I don't know what they're going to be. Because people have become so obsessed with not conceding a handball. They're allowing people, they're conceding goals instead. It's fucking infuriating. It is the most annoying thing in world football. But, well, that, cheating, diving, state sponsorship, media bias, Bruno Fernandes, greed, corruption, it's up there.
Yeah, well, Cash has his hands behind his back. Hansa has his hands in front of his genitals as well. So, like, it's just a series of different ways of people not really focusing on trying to stop the ball going into the box, just trying to stop it hitting themselves, which was not the best tactic. And then, obviously, John McGinn got one of these offside as well. Bailey puts the ball into him. That's a lovely finish from John McGinn, right foot of finish into the bottom corner. I can only think it's a Watkins thinking he's offside syndrome as well. He knows it's not going to count, so he hits it with such conviction. We'll never see it again.
Yeah, Liam Bailey does really well to block the attempted clearance. The VAR did even better to determine where the point of contact was from behind Liam Bailey. Like, I know I've had to explain to you before that the technology, in inverted commas, that is always being referred to is just a load of cameras. Well, I owe you a fucking apology, Conan. It turns out it's X-ray cameras here. How quickly did they just decide that Liam Bailey connected with the ball? And the ball couldn't be seen from the camera angle that we were given.
I think we've done really well to get 15 minutes out of the top of the show, considering the game that we just watched. This reminds me of one of those Villa Everton matches from way back when under Dean Smith. They were just awful, turgid stuff. But there wasn't much going on, as we're going to see in the Rosenthal Award. But first, we're going to go to WhatsApp whinges after a quick breather. Douglas Luiz drilled a ball out to Diaby on the left-hand side, and Diaby just lets it go out. And this was annoying, actually, considering Rob Jones was playing advantage. Wasn't much advantage, was it? Douglas Luiz was being pulled back, puts a ball out to Diaby, and Diaby doesn't get it under control, and it goes out for a throw-in, and it's a Brighton throw-in. Great advantage, Rob. Pau Torres of the old classic fine, crossing it from the left-hand side out for a goal kick. And then John McGinn and Cash both deserve a fine, I think, for letting João Pedro complete a bit of filth on them. Well, John McGinn has just stepped inside, and then Matt Cash gets nutmegged. I mean, it's just... So it really is too easy sometimes. You walk around Premier League players. I mean, we're very quick to praise them for how fit they are and how athletic they are and how much they can take on board tactically. But Jesus, sometimes you can just jink around, boys, and knock the ball through their legs. Just ask Danny Olo.
I think the opportunity is always there to absolutely rinse Matt Cash. I think 50% of the time you might be taken out, but he's so erratic, and he's running at full speed. Maybe that's why whenever Konza is running out with holding these balls, Matt Cash is running out with his hands behind his back. He's saying, hit me in the balls, they're so fucking big. I'm going to play this game at my pace. This is the level of courage I have. I think I can win every ball. Even after you've nutmegged me, I'll do it again. I'll come sprinting straight at you. And that's the thing that I think bad defenders don't realize. If you sprint at somebody, they're just going to walk around you. It's not fucking difficult.
And then Matt Cash is getting a fine as well for his pass to Bailey in injury time, just down the right hand side. Just absolutely leathering it at him, and it goes out of play. Bailey probably theoretically could keep it in, but he's got a man up his arse, and he's having his right back just drill a ball at him down the right hand side. To what end? I mean, even if Bailey's able to keep that in, like, what was the point of that?
What was the point of that fucking injury time, Conan? That was the longest 9 minutes of my life and the most pointless. Jesus Christ. When the 9 minutes went up, I was like, Jesus, we might get something at least. One more point. Get another point on the board. Make Spurs need to win 3 games. It didn't materialise like that, did it? We had Matt Cash running around smashing the ball as hard as he could.
This is the thing. This has been happening in recent months. So like, it feels like injury time is just pointless, you know, when we're in. When we're in these games, you know, that we need to make something happen, and we just never get the ball. Like, we're not actually mounting any chances. We got a corner in injury time, but we never just score a goal from nothing anymore. Am I just looking at this through the prism of this match now? But it just feels like we haven't gotten a handy goal, you know, against the run of play. put the ball in and our centre-back will head the ball. That definitely doesn't happen. I can't remember the last time our centre-back has headed a corner or a set piece. And like, just, we can't. Like, remember Pau Torres at the start of the season against Wolves, against the run of play. They were all over us. They just scored. Then we swung a free kick in and Pau Torres gets a goal. I can't remember the last time that happened. Was that it? Was that the last time it happened?
Like, you asked the question, like, when was, like, can we just get a goal out of nothing? You literally would have been asking to get a goal out of nothing, which we'll see when we come on to the Ronnie Rosenthal Award. We did nothing in that game. And I've said this every week for the last 3 weeks. That was the worst performance under Unai Emery.
Yeah, he was very quick to... I get it. I like the approach. He said he doesn't want to hear anything about positivity afterwards. He was shutting down the Sky Sports reporter who was trying to be critical. He's obviously conscious. I've complained about him not talking about the injuries. It shows that I really will complain about anything. I'm complaining about our manager just getting on with it. And now I think he's just appreciating that he understands there's two league games left. There's one or two European games left. And he understands now, I just need to get them over the line. I need to help them carry the sled over the line. God's sake. Anyway, like,
we've been really bad the last couple of weeks, but we've also only lost one game in the last five. And we haven't been playing duds either. I mean, like, we threw games away against Brentford and against Chelsea, which is really annoying, but we also were hammering those teams. We beat Arsenal, we beat Bournemouth really easily. You know, our last five games in the league actually haven't been that bad. It just feels fucking torturous.
Yeah, it's just been a bad week. It's just been, like, do you know what? I'm going to jump to a WhatsApp window I have here that says, I'm not watching the remaining games of the season. It's too painful. I can't, as much as I want us to win on Thursday night, I can't bear to think there's four more games left of this. I can't put myself through it anymore. I just want to tune in to see if Man City beat Spurs. See if we've gotten Champions League or not. Because right now it feels like that's our best bet. I know we could go and win. Imagine that atmosphere now. Monday night, that could be in our hands going in. If we win that match, well, it is in our hands. We win that match under lights at home, last home game of the season. They give them the Champions League. Fucking insane. Against a good team as well. We're actually good at playing good teams. Like, this is incredible. But I just want to see Man City beat Spurs. I think that's where I'm at the minute.
I know, Conan, you've stopped, you know, reading out real WhatsApps that you've sent me, and you've probably just misremembered the one you actually sent me, which is a lot more grim than the one you've just read out there. The actual WhatsApp that you sent me at 6:20 today was, this season just confirms that supporting a football team will never be enjoyable. That was how you were actually feeling at 6:20 today, Colin. And don't be lying to people. Never, will never be enjoyable.
Yeah, like, this is it. I definitely enjoyed it. There was definitely a period in October, November I was enjoying myself. But, God almighty. Like, imagine parachuting me into right now from last year, from the year before, from Gerrard, from being 8 points behind four games to go under Dean Smith. We were almost relegated. We had four games left to get 8 points and we got them all. I mean, look where we are right now. And I get that taxi annoying people now as well online, because, you know, people feel like, and I don't like that either. I mean, just let people have a little moan. I mean, people are just kicking out. They're just trying to release someone. Like, that must be so annoying. You're trying to kick out and just vent, and then you have hundreds of people being like, some fan you are. You don't appreciate it, do you? Look where we've come from. I know I'm doing the same now, so I get that's annoying. But actually, when you do look at it in the cold light of day, what I am saying is, what is the point? What is the point of supporting anybody? Because, like, I would have, like, I've been dreaming of this my whole life, my whole Aston Villa supporting life. That's in their hands with two games to go to get in the Champions League. And all I've been doing over the last 2 months is panicking, worrying, sending off messages, you know, crying to you, kicking out at Liverpool fans for no reason, thinking they were going to screw us over today, calling them shite because they hadn't scored. You know, just all this stuff. Like, I'm not enjoying any of it. Maybe I will enjoy it once it's all done.
You won't. You'll just have the trepidation and the worry and the fear of being drawn in a group with Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern Munich next year. And you're like, what's the fucking... What is the point being in the Champions League if we're just going to get spanked by Real Madrid at the Bernabeu? Oh,
God.
But if anybody's not allowed to complain about it today, they need their fucking head examined. We had one shot. I don't care if we're qualified for the Champions League. That was fucking grim.
Burnley are playing away at Spurs on Saturday. I don't think they're going to get the win that we need to qualify for the Champions League. And then we're up on Monday. We've got the opportunity to do it against Liverpool at home. But then if that doesn't go well, we have Man City away to Spurs on Tuesday, then the next day. So Monday and Tuesday are big days for us.
I've spent too much of this fucking season supporting Man City. Initially, it was trying to get Man City to win the Champions League, so there was the fifth place was available for Aston Villa. And now I'm fucking hoping Man City are going to win the title, so the fourth place is available for Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's not nice. It's revealing, though. It's not that I can't enjoy football, right? It's just I can't enjoy supporting a football team. And there was a stage during that Man City-Real Madrid match where it became really clear, Jesus, like, City are becoming our only hope. We need them to win. I couldn't get to that stage. I knew it wasn't even in our hands at that time that I think we had a bad result around it. And we needed the fifth place to look a bit more secure. And I just enjoyed Ancelotti's eyebrow too much. I was just buying into how good he is and the tradition and legacy of Real Madrid. No matter how much Man City are favoured, Madrid still have that song about them, and I was still going for them when it came down to, you know yourself, when you watch a match, you think who you want to win, but then your stomach knows what you really want.
Yeah, I guess it's just all on Josh Brownhill and Josh Cullen then on Saturday.
The only other WhatsApp wins I have is the last podcast where I was saying the worst sentence ever was a Matt Cash throw-in to a Konza volley. Matt Cash throw-in to a John McGinn header to a Konza volley. Well, this one was a Matt Cash throw-in, called a long throw-in, a Matt Cash medium throw-in to a Diego Carlos volley over his head and out of play. And I don't even blame Carlos. He was in position waiting for this long throw that falls short like it always does, and he has to reach out with his foot to try and get someone on it and hook it back in the play, but he hooks it back over the crossbar. And Liam, we had three corners. One of them was an injury time, so I'm not even counting that. There was two corners and one attacking free kick in the second half. There was actually two attacking free kicks, but there was four of these attacking set pieces, let's say. Three times he talked about Austin McPhee. It's insane. It's actually mad how this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only time that I've ever enjoyed Sky Sports talking about Austin McPhee was that time that Jamie Redknapp couldn't remember his name. But the irritating thing is that he was actually trying to talk about Austin McPhee and trying to praise him. Fucking load of bollocks. Like, this Austin McPhee is asking Matt Cash to throw... Dean Smith brought this in, and it was ridiculed 4 years ago. Dean Smith and Austin McPhee brought this in 4 years ago, and we said, it's bollocks, stop doing it. And now here we are again, trying to qualify for the Champions League by Matt Cash putting in a short, long throw to our midfield, to our centre-half, to overhead kick it out of play. Get the camera on that, man.
Europe ain't ready. Let's take a break and we'll come back after this.
This is Paul McGrath. You're listening to the Villa Podcast.
Sherwood gets the job. England go to the World Cup, lose to Belgium in the group, beat Colombia, beat Sweden. Do they beat Croatia? I know you think they do. I know you think that Tim Sherwood beats Croatia.
Dean Smith is a roller coaster fan. Dean Smith has never met a woman that he fancied and didn't tell her.
I feel like I have to explain to you. I do enjoy supporting Aston Villa.
The son of a Monte Carlo banker gambles that a non-consequential footballer standing over the most consequential kick in the sport is going to open up his body and whip it across into the side net.
Yeah, I went through all those scenarios and stuff that you would say and stuff that Gerard's obviously thinking. And then I just wrote down, just figure it out. Like, it's not my problem. You figure it out.
The hills are alive with the sound of people talking absolute shit.
I'm going to start with you, like Glenn Whelan, taking 90th minute penalty award. And only one nomination, really, but it's one that we have to talk about. I don't know if I like Bailey on the left. And I'm sure you can drag 9 other podcasts where I've said 9 other suggestions for where to play Bailey, where to play Diaby, what to do. Bailey on the left, I know he's deadly with his right foot, so you'd think coming in on the right foot would work. But I think, well, what we've always known when we're being serious, that Bailey's right foot is really good because people are so terrified of him coming onto his left foot. It just seemed to get a bit lost out there. Well, no, we weren't good, so maybe it's not the time to point it out. And I don't know what else he would have done, but it's so strange that he really doesn't like the idea of putting Bailey up there. And we just changed everything. Rodgers gets injured, and it was nice seeing him in like a real number 10 position. Had Diaby on the left, Bailey on the right. And then it just sort of shows again how hamstrung we are. Our number 10 is coming off, and we're bringing on a right back. And he's going into right midfield, and then we're shifting Bailey over and moving Diaby up top. I don't know. I would have liked to have maybe seen Rodgers being replaced by Duran or Bailey going up top or something like that, but he got lost out in the left.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's bad enough. We've just added Rodgers to our extensive injury list, and then you're taking your most dangerous midfielder out of the game by taking him out of your, like, he's your best player up until Watkins. Like, yeah. Why are you sacrificing him now? So you've just lost Rodgers, who's been in lightning form, so now you're going to lose Bailey, who's been the best player this season, other than Ollie Watkins. It was a strange piece of decision making. Like, he could have brought on Tim and put John McGinn up number 10, could have put Diaby up number 10, could have put John McGinn on the left wing. You know, there's other things he could have done. Why not play Matt Cash in the Rodgers role, Conan? To be fair, he probably would have come off injured as well with an exploded heart because it was filled with too much joy. The idea that he was going to play cutting in from the left wing onto that magical right foot of his.
That brings us on perfectly to the Ronnie Rosenthal Award, Liam, because potentially our only nomination. Let's go straight to Matt Cash first. We'll come back to the rest of it. Matt Cash's long shot. Some people would call it a John McGinn shot. I don't even know if I will, because, like I say, it's our only nomination in this category. I mean, it's a nice touch he takes down. It's a corner that's broken down. At the edge of the box.
Of course it's a nice touch. He knew he had a shot on if he gets this touch right.
I was thinking, because he waited up for a couple of seconds, and I was thinking, I can't believe he's not taking that shot on. I thought he was going to bang it out to the left, which is, I think that's what he needed to do.
Did you think for any moment there, while he was taking that touch and deciding what he was doing, that he was thinking about doing anything else? He was Matt Cash's head. All he was thinking is, which part of the net am I going to put this in? Would I want this to go rippling off the top corner? Do I want to fade it in so it just kind of floats around the back of the net? Or am I going to smash it off the underside of the crossbar? Matt Cash had decided which type of goal he was scoring here. Yeah. He wasn't thinking about not shooting.
It's Matt Cash in his head in Matt Cash range. And this must be why he's such a good golfer, like, which he is, because in his head, he never misses. He doesn't miss. So imagine the fortitude, the mental strength he goes around the golf course with, everybody else beating themselves up. And like, nothing goes wrong in his head. Every shot he takes is class. Yeah, it's pure class.
As exemplified by him after the shot, puff cheeks afterwards, like he's just watching just fade wide at the last minute, even though it was off target from the second that left his boot. I mean, the only people in the stadium before spatial awareness were the woman and child in the front row who ducked out of the way as it bounced under the 8th row of the fucking stand. Absolutely ridiculous.
Let's rattle through the actual nominations, though, of real chances missed. The start of the match, Adingra came down the left, they cut in, it's a tame enough shot, the near post gets Robin Olsen up and running very early for what was a phenomenal game from Robin Olsen. Morgan Rodgers had a bit of a what the fuck moment as well. Him and Watkins. Watkins played it to him, and then Rodgers' ball back. I don't know, was it a touch or a ball back to Watkins? Just leaves the ball loose. Brighton piss through us again. Adingra just skips by Louise so easily, and he drills one from outside the box. Olsen bats it away. Wasn't that convincing? It was a weird enough bat. I was a bit worried at this stage. But he eventually got going, and then I think their biggest chance in the first half. Webster and Welbeck go up competing against each other for one of their corners. Corner comes in, and it's two Brighton players going up competing against each other. I mean, at least it wasn't unchallenged. No, we have let two of them go up unchallenged, but they are challenging each other, so maybe this rules it out. Maybe this is a good tactic after all.
Maybe I should take back everything I just said about Austin McPhee. He's obviously an innovator. He's obviously thinking outside the box. None of my fucking defenders can head the ball. So let's just try and tempt two of their forwards to go up and win the ball, to go up and challenge the ball with each other.
Ollie Watkins just did the best thing of his life and immediately did the worst thing of his life. This was unbelievable stuff. Like the Lookadine header, the Watkins volley back in, the Lookadine scoop over the top, which I was like, oh, does that put him in a bit of bother? But no, the touch is unbelievable. The touch is perfect. Right on to his right foot. Lovely angle. Gee, what is he thinking? Like, even just after that touch, after the bit of play down the left-hand side, why does he not just want to finish the move instead of thinking, I'll just turn back and in to two more defenders? It's just... did not even get a shot away at the end of all that. Was so disappointing considering how good the touch was.
Yeah, you don't butcher the lamb and then not feast. Like, what a waste of a beautiful chop. The ball looks like it's a little bit under his feet, but you're not going to get it out of your feet by turning into two Brighton players. It was absolutely ridiculous. Even if he doesn't think he can get away the perfect shot here, he's not going to get away any shot from what he decides to do afterwards. So get the shot away, Ollie. Toe poke it, do anything. Like, he can't just lose the ball after that.
Yeah. Just smash it and get a corner or something. I mean, like, he turns in and you see Matt Cash at the far side of the box, and it's like, is this why you were turning in? João Pedro had a cross for Adingra stretching to get to it, and then Gross just, oh my god, just runs by Bailey and Lookadine. This is the one that Olsen actually makes a save. So we were saying that Olsen can't chase. We said once he starts running across the box, it's trouble, it's over. And this one, he runs after Gross. He runs after him. And I thought he got down as well. I thought the two of us had egg on our face. I said he couldn't chase. You said he couldn't get down. He did get down eventually, but the ball would have been past him by the time he did get down. He saves it with his feet, as it turned out. It's not the time to criticize him. It's actually a really good save. Chases across, saves it with his right foot. But you look at this replay. Bailey and Dean just watch Gross run by them into the box. And then Dean, with this weird habit now, where he steps forward and then steps back and doesn't do anything with the running player into the box. Plays him onside and doesn't track him.
Olsen punches the ground in frustration. Initially, I thought it was about the defending from Dean, but then I realised he was just punching the ground saying, I should have done that on Thursday night. We'd be going there now next week with a lot better chance if I had to just fucking try to save the ball instead of running after the guy looking to tickle his back. Yeah, it was a really good save, though.
Really was. And then he makes a great save then. Like, Pedro comes in between Carlos and Pau Torres, and I mean, it's actually a decent finish. He's lifted it over the top, and it's the left hand of Olsen that's behind him as well, and he gets a strong hand on it, and he knows his bearings. Like, even though it's bouncing behind him, he goes back to collect it then. He's cool, even though it's bouncing behind it, and he's about to get his two hands on it, and Diego Carlos boots it out of his hands.
Yeah, his angles are spot on, and once you do the starfish, you're giving yourself a chance, makes himself as big as possible. Absolutely brilliant goalkeeping.
I'm going to give the winner, if we just look at it from an Aston Villa point of view, we have Cash and Watkins. Like, we have a Cash shot from 25 yards and a Watkins non-shot as our nominations this week. I mean, that sums up this game. And I'm still going to give it to Watkins for just not completing what was a brilliant move.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, well, yeah, Watkins has to, because it's the most glaring. Like, he has to get a shot away there. That's such a silly mistake. McCash has to not shoot, but Dolly Watkins has to. That's our two chances from today. Fuck me. Don't give out to anybody who's complaining after that game.
We had one. It's pathetic that I even remember this. Rodgers had a lovely touch of balls, banged in him from again. Lovely turn, coming straight through the middle. Tries to feed Watkins, and it's poked away, and it comes back to Rodgers' feet, so he feeds Diaby instead down the left, and it's just a terrible touch from Diaby. Lets the ball get away from him and go further wide, and he tries to play it across. Why am I even talking about this? He tries to play it across, and the keeper dives on the ball. It's not even a shot. It's not a completed cross. Forget about it. We're moving on. The Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award. John McGinn at right back. He's just tackled and he falls over again. This has happened a few times now, and it was coming. This move, it was coming, because Diego Carlos standing on the ball, turning around, rolling it back to Olsen. How many times did we want to roll that ball back to Olsen? And Olsen didn't do anything wrong. Didn't do anything wrong today. But we just kept putting it back to him. And it was coming to Carlos, it was coming to Olsen, it was back and forth. Eventually, Olsen gave a dodgy enough one to Douglas Luiz, I think, who gets it back to defender. Maybe Konsa, maybe Carlos, and then their ball out to McGinn puts him in a tight spot, and eventually he just gets pushed over and Brighton attack.
It's happening a lot. John McGinn is losing the ball fairly fucking regularly the last couple of weeks. So maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's where it's all starting. Where the fuck is Youri Tielemans, Connor?
Leon Bailey tried a double drag back, but it was coming in off the left. It was never going to work. It was never going to work. He fell over as he tried it. He just fell on his face. Brighton went steaming through the middle again. This ball was slid through, and this is the one that Olsen came sliding out and got hurt. But his body on the line for the team. He was definitely our best player, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Robin Olsen was comfortably the best player we had today. I mean, I don't want to skip along to the Weimann meter, but Robin Olsen is once again rocketing up the Weimann meter. Can't, to be fair, he had just plummeted down and fucking nearly exploded off the bottom of it after the previous outing for Robin Olsen. But Jesus, he was really, really good today. Comfortably our best player, which is nearly as grim as saying Matt Cash shouldn't have shot and Ollie Watkins should have shot our two best chances from today.
Pau Torres has a nomination here, but it starts with John McGinn. And I don't know, did he let the crowd get in his head? They're all serenading him. They're saying, we've got McGinn, Super John McGinn. And he feels like then he has to do something with the ball. And he just chips this one to Pau Torres over the head of João Pedro into a terrible position with somebody closing him in on the other side. Pau Torres standing on the ball in the Brighton half. He gets pushed over, loses the ball. Brighton comes steaming through the middle again. How many times is this happening? Like, just such an unnecessary ball from McGinn, and this leads to Torres having to make a really good goal-saving clearance at the back post, but it leads to a corner, which should be a goal.
That was so annoying. It's like, John, just play the pass. Just play the pass to Pau Torres. Nobody's chanting your name because you can dink a ball 15 yards to somebody and put him under pressure. Like, this isn't impressing anybody. We've all seen what you've done for Aston Villa Football Club. It's amazing how little you cost, how you've come up through the championship. You've been there through all the shit times, and now you're on the cusp of qualifying us for the Champions League as captain. Nobody is impressed by you danking the ball over the top of a centre forward to play a shit pass and play your centre half into trouble.
And then the winner, and this is the third nomination, is John McGinn of the Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award. John McGinn's attempted header from the ball over the top from Adingra. I mean, even defensively, John McGinn's headers are weird. He's trying to dive back and head the ball, and he falls over. He just falls over, and this is the one in Cissu gets it and drills it over. He really should have done better, but my God, when I see John McGinn trying to head a ball, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It defies logic. I don't know what happens to him. I don't know if it's just he can't get off the ground. I don't know, but every time he decides to head the ball, it's always the wrong decision as well, never mind the execution.
Yeah, geez, he loses the flight of that ball a lot easier than the Howland Island air control operator lost Emilia Earhart's flight. I mean, it was fucking pathetic. Like, where are you going, John? Like, you see, it was almost like you could see the ball dropping out of the sky, realized I've misjudged this, so I better just fall to the ground and hope that the weight of my body hitting the ground will push the ball further through to my goalkeeper. It was fucking a crazy decision. I don't know how he loses the flight so easily. He's been playing football his whole fucking life. And then to decide just to fucking face plant onto the ground. Insane. That's our captain leading us to the Champions League.
That's our captain leading us into Tuesday night to watch Spurs v Man City. That's unfair. I meant what I meant at the top of the show. The only other award category I want to do is the Ashley Westwood. Oh, he was playing award. I think it has to go to John Duran. Again, I don't know if it's worth singling out anybody in this game, but he comes on. I'm thinking, okay, you know, this boy's a bit of chaos. Let's see what I don't remember him at all. No chaos, no fights, no arguments with the referee, no roughness, no broken noses out there, just from, you know, his shoulders and his arms. Like, just nothing awkward. He just came on and the game was over.
Yeah, I really don't think that was his fault. We didn't create anything today. We didn't get the ball into Watkins. I think it was after about 35 minutes it flashed up Watkins' touch map. Touched it twice. Once just inside the half. Another time just inside their half. It was pathetic. A really, really, really bad performance from Aston Villa. We had a 20-minute period where we looked like we were all right, where we looked like we were going to do stuff. Unfortunately, that just resulted in Matt Cash having a shot from 30 yards. It's unbelievably poor performance, and it's very, very difficult to criticize center forwards when you play that poorly.
Let's go to the Vyman meter. We've got a lot of people going down. There's a Birmingham City joke in there somewhere. Going down, I have Diego Carlos. I just remain unconvinced now from the last game, from the game that he said you can't trust him anymore, from some of his decisions that he was making. And, I mean, just the standing on the ball is always just, it just compounds these performances, I think, when he's just not moving the ball and he's turning around and playing it back to Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's strange every time I see him getting picked. I mean, I think I'd rather have Konsa centre-half and Cash right-back than having Diego Carlos and Konsa in those corresponding positions. There's something about him that confuses me. I don't know. I'm not really fully sure of what he's properly good at as a centre-half. He's had some brilliant performances this season for Aston Villa, but he's also had some absolute stinkers. And even in the brilliant performances, it's been when we've been really deep and absorbing pressure, and he's been getting on the end of things. That's not how we play. So I don't know why you would play him. It's definitely not how we play today. We were pushing up a lot, and he can't do that. He can't do that because he doesn't have enough pace to get back. And he also knows that. So he drops and sinks really, really deep. He plays like Tyrone Mings under Dean Smith whenever we were getting fucking relegated. Like, he just gets sucked back towards the goalkeeper. He can't play in this system. He can play against Arsenal when we're getting battered, but he can't play against Brighton when we're trying to push up.
And that João Pedro chance I mentioned as well. I mean, it's coming down the left. It's Torres that's with him. It's Diego Carlos aside, but it's Torres that catches him up and has a hand on him. And I was thinking, Jesus, if Konsa was in there. Now, I know the thought of Cash being on the right back spot with Adingra all game is a bit worrying as well.
Well, he wouldn't have been there all game, Conor. He was sent off after about 40 minutes.
But the thing is about Cash, but you see, maybe he wouldn't have had that respect for Adingra, so it probably would have been a concern. But when he's given a task, he's actually quite good defensively when he just focuses on that. We've seen him before with like a Foden, just hanging there in the games, you know, and sometimes he's under pressure, but he's only focusing on defending and he does his job for us. Maybe that would have been a bad call, though. I can see why they also went for Konsa at the right, because he probably anticipated this.
Perhaps, but like, I don't think if Diego Carlos is the answer, you're not asking the right questions, Ken.
Yeah. Going down to have Luca Dean as well, I just feel like his touch is quite heavy. I feel like his body position is a bit weird. He's sort of turned away from the left wing a lot. He's coming in. I don't know. I just feel like we're not getting a lot out of him in an attacking sense. And then, like I mentioned, this habit he has now of stepping forward and stepping back, second guessing himself, playing people on, so like, you know, I mean, he's doing what we criticize Matt Cash for doing. I mean, at least, you know, Matt Cash isn't second guessing himself. He never second guesses himself.
He doesn't guess himself, yeah, Colin. Exactly. Never mind second.
He's just standing in the one place. Whereas Lucadine is actually going, should I be here? Should I be there? It looks worse. I mean, Matt Cash, I can believe something else is going on in there. He's thinking about how can I best get forward and take a shot.
How can I best sprint towards somebody and get nutmegged?
Look at Dean's position, is a bit of concern there as well. Like, I'm not that concerned, but I just think he's going down this week.
Ah, they're all done, Conan. They're all fucking finished. Like, none of them are playing well. Like, many times did Lucadine get the ball, or it wasn't even him every time. A couple of times players got the ball on the left and he just floated crosses in towards the back post. No fucking inventiveness, no care taken on the cross, just overhit, out of play. You mentioned the Pau Torres. What is Pau Torres doing swinging across out of play from the corner of the box? Pau Torres can strike the ball better than most people I've ever seen play for Aston Villa. What's he doing floating the ball out of play? It's absolutely ridiculous. They're all finished. They're all just trying to get through this season. Like you said, Conan, they can kiss as many fucking eggs as they want, but they're not going to start playing well all of a sudden. They're fucked. They're done.
Yeah. If we got on the phone with any of these boys, if we got to text John McGinn and said, "You dead man," he would just write back, "Yeah, man." That's it. We're almost there. The only person going up then is Robin Olsen. I mean, we should just mention that. We should highlight that. Robin Olsen is definitely going up in the Vyman meter. He had two in a row, and then he went down quite heavily on Thursday. And he was brilliant again tonight. It was class. I mean, if we had that on Thursday night, I'll take it. I'll take that all day long. He was really good.
Yeah, I don't think going up more than Robin Olsen is my penis after I saw him save that penalty. It was fucking so sexy from that big man to see him going down like that, to get down, get his hand at it, and he gets so fucking unlucky for two reasons. João Pedro manages to head the ball into the ground, so we all know Olsen's fucked from that, but also just the fact that it popped up to João Pedro was so frustrating. Because Villa players actually got back pretty well. They beat all the Brighton players into the box. Unfortunately, there was one already in there for 6 yard head start.
Last but not least, questions we can't answer, but probably will. Do you think anybody in the Football Writers Association even considered Ollie Watkins? You slagged me, Liam, and this was the reason, I know we had a bit of fun about it, this is the reason why I tried to couch what I was saying by saying Watkins is definitely in the top three players this year, because I was thinking about these people.
Well, one of your people, obviously. Yeah. If you're fucking only putting them in the top three, here's you and your pals in the media fucking putting them fifth of the players. You couched it as well. They all couched it. They all thought, I can't possibly sell this. They're all sitting around like this. Why is the awards being handed out now? The season's not over. What are these fucking plonkers going to be doing at the end of the season? Fucking nothing. Writing shit opinion pieces, trying to sell off Aston Villa players to all their football clubs. That's what they're going to be spending their time. Just vote then. As if it takes any time. Send in your WhatsApp, go online, put in your registration, put in your little registration code. Say you work for the Sun or whatever bollocks paper you write for, and then just vote for Bill Foden. You don't have to do it now. There's fucking four games left.
I was couching it because I was thinking about, there's no way they're not voting for Declan Rice. There's no way they're not voting for Phil Foden. I mean, I just thought Ollie Watkins, but if they could see past West Ham in 2011 and go straight to Scott Parker and give him Player of the Year, I thought they would recognize one of the top goal scorers in the league. I thought they would recognize the top non-penalty goal scorer in the league, the top assister in the league, the guy dragging Aston Villa to the Champions League if Man City can beat Spurs. The guy taking Villa all the way. I mean, what on earth has happened here? How has he not even made the top three? I was being kind to them. I was giving them that out. I said, if he makes the top three, like that's what I assume will happen. I still wouldn't have been that happy about it, but I thought at least he would be in the top three, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that happened, I don't know why you're so surprised at Scott Parker. I mean, the only thing that happened more often than him getting praise on Sky Sports News was him getting fucking relegated with the clubs he took over, Conan. Even as a manager, this man was the golden boy of your pals in the media. It was bizarre to think that he wasn't going to win Player of the Season when he did quite well for a team that got fucking relegated. Oh, he ran around, smashed into the lads. He really cared, Conan. Fuck me. The fact that I was only giving out to you because you didn't have the courage of your convictions just to say, hang on a second, Ollie Watkins is obviously the best player in the league this year. It's absolute nonsense to suggest that anybody's been better than him. Even Phil Foden, who has been brilliant. Even Declan Rice, who has been his normal grand self, but he plays for England. Even fucking Rodri has been very good. If he hadn't missed a big load of games, if he hadn't come out during the season there and said, I need a rest. 6 games left in the season. And Rodri, who finished ahead of us, Ollie Watkins, best player in the league this year, Rodri came out and said he needs a rest, and people are voting for him ahead of Ollie Watkins. Is that a bit of his PR? Is that how he's trying to get into their heads, getting all your chin rubbing pals in the media to think, maybe this lad has been quite good. If he needs a rest, he must have been running around a lot. Is that the fucking level of analytical skill that your pals in the media have?
A very disappointing day. A very disappointing weekend. A very disappointing week. A very disappointing season. No, I'm only joking. But the fact of the matter is, even today, we are still one game closer now. We've gotten one game closer. We're one result.
We've gotten one game closer to Man City playing Spurs.
And that was the same on Thursday night as well, when Chelsea did us a favour and we lost, but we got one game closer to the Champions League. And all we have to do now is rally together and get the victory. But first we have to focus on Thursday night and trying to overturn a 2-goal lead. And like I said before, I do have expectation here going into this match, because I've seen Robbie Keane go to Greece and do the same thing. So let's go and turn this thing around. Injuries or not, let's go and do it, and then we'll worry about Monday after that. We'll worry about Tuesday after that, and we'll see how Man City get on. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. And share it on if you do get the chance. We'll chat to you on Thursday. All the best.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.